Amory and WBZH 910 AM W245CT Hayward. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.
Find out what's going on in the world, the state, and in your own backyard. This is a Civic Media Network News Update.
Good morning. It's 8 o'clock. I'm Luke Mathers, and here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Wisconsin Democrats are launching a public campaign against efforts to impeach Supreme Court Justice Janet Protasiewicz. Terry Bell reports.
The Wisconsin Democratic Party and other groups begin a $4 million public opinion campaign today called Defend Justice. It will employ everything from door-to-door appeals to TV ads to pressure Republicans in the state legislature to drop plans to impeach the liberal justice. Ben Wickler is the chair of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin. He says impeachment would be like throwing out more than 1 million votes cast in April.
Try selling that to the voters who just elected Justice Protasiewicz in an 11-point landslide. Voters do not like having their voting rights ripped away. They've responded to those threats before, and make no mistake, they would do so again.
Republicans say Protasiewicz's campaign comments about gerrymandering amount to judicial misconduct since the court may rule on the state's legislative maps. But the Wisconsin Judicial Commission has dismissed several such Republican complaints as baseless. Terry Bell, Civic Media News.
Social media platforms are doing less these days to fight election misinformation. There's a bill in Congress to ban false statements about voting on social media. Emma Steiner is with the good government group Common Cause.
Disinformation spreaders and disinformation campaigns tend to target marginalized populations and people who live in information voids, meaning they don't have the resources or capacity to find reliable information.
Among other things, the Freedom to Vote Act would also establish national voting standards and stop partisan gerrymandering. The first grade teacher that criticized the Waukesha School District for preventing her class from singing the song Rainbow Land has filed a First Amendment lawsuit against the district. Melissa Temple was put on leave after the incident and fired from the job in July after a vote from the Waukesha School Board. A state wildlife area near Whitewater is about to get twice as big. Here's Nate Wegehout.
The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources is buying more than 1,800 acres of land in Jefferson County next to the Princes Point Wildlife Area. The agency will get to work right away restoring wetlands with the help of federal money. The new expanded wildlife area will be geared for duck hunting, paddling, and bird watching. There will also be opportunities for boating, canoeing, and hiking. Some areas could be open to the public in a matter of weeks. Nate Wegehout, Civic Media News.
Dry conditions this summer may have helped Wisconsin cranberry growers learn more about pollinator effects on the crop. Many farmers bring in commercial bees to pollinate their cranberries each year. Researchers with the University of Wisconsin Extension are studying the impact outside pollinators have compared to wild bees. The dry conditions this year have been good for that research. Cranberry bogs will begin to be flooded later this month when the harvest begins. And that's what Wisconsin needs to know. I'm Luke Mathers, Civic Media News.
For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly. Molina Healthcare has closed a deal to purchase My Choice Wisconsin, a nonprofit that operates a state program for adults with disabilities and elderly people who need everyday assistance. Molina will take over the long-term care of over 15,000 Wisconsin disabled and elderly people enrolled in family care and directly help about 40% of Wisconsin adults receiving long-term care. Molina announced the purchase price for My Choice Wisconsin was roughly $150 million. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources is reminding hunters that the 2023 bear season opens this week. Bear season runs from today until October 10th with specific regulations based on a hunter's bear management zone. For hunters in zones C, E, and F, no dogs are permitted in bear hunting. In zones A, B, and D, hunters can use dogs from today to October 3rd, but only bait and other legal methods from October 4th to October 10th. For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly.
The Brewers go for a series win in Pittsburgh. Good morning, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. It's the Brewers facing the Pirates today at PNC Park. First pitch at 11:35 this morning to wrap up their three-game series. Last night, the Crew with a 7-3 win over Pittsburgh. Brandon Woodruff pitched seven scoreless innings for Milwaukee, and Mark Canha again driving in runners on base.
Canha into left field, a base hit. Contreras coming around to score. Santana will be held as the ball is bobbled by Palacios. Now Santana coming home. He will score. Canha is in a rundown and tagged out. Regardless, it's 7-0.
Highlight courtesy Bally Sports Wisconsin. Canha has successfully reached on base in 16 consecutive games and was asked about his approach at the plate.
Just the way I've been staying in the moment and just being present, kind of taking what the pitcher gives me and having feel for the game. And I think that's kind of the most most important thing, and just being in the moment.
College football, Badgers head coach Luke Fickell, after watching the tape of Wisconsin's win over Buffalo and Badgers quarterback Tanner Mordecai with one touchdown and two interceptions.
You can hesitate, you can get mad, you can throw your hands up in the air, then all of a sudden you act like you're going to make the play and you don't. And in both of the interceptions, he made the play. The one he made the guy cut back, they end up falling, but they end up getting no points out of that, you know, and he makes the tackle pretty much on the second one. And to me, that's more of what I want to see more than anything else.
NFL, the Packers open the season on the road Sunday for the fifth time in a row when they face the Chicago Bears in Chicago. It's the first NFL game for new punter Daniel Whelan. Now, the last time the Packers played in Chicago, Aaron Rodgers told Bear fans he owns them. What does Jordan Love think?
I think everyone's excited for, you know, season start for week one. Obviously, you know, playing the Bears, which is our rival. So, you know, everyone's just, I think, really excited, you know, getting that ball rolling with the season starting. Can focus on, you know, game plan and, you know, what Chicago's doing.
That's Packers quarterback Jordan Love. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Hey, good morning. Welcome in to the Stu Daniels Show on a Wednesday morning. Yeah, it's the sixth day of September. I'm your host, Stu Daniels. Hope you're having a good day so far. It's 7 minutes after 8 o'clock now, and we have a change in the weather. Depending on where you are, you may be seeing some rain today and temperatures much cooler than we've seen over the last several days. Today in La Crosse, mostly cloudy, a slight chance of rain, temperatures in the upper 60s. In Eau Claire today, cloudy with a slight chance of rain, temperatures in the mid-60s. In Richland Center today, mostly cloudy, slight chance of rain, high around 74. In Amory, cloudy skies, chance of rain, high around 63. And up in Hayward, cloudy, breezy, a chance of rain, and temperatures in the low 60s. So did you get to see some of that baseball game last night? Yep, in sports, the Brewers beat the Pirates last night 7-3. And the Cubs also won, so Milwaukee remains 2.5 games ahead of Chicago. The finale of that 3-game series against the Pirates is today in Pittsburgh. So let's get to the news and see what's going on. Well, you know, the big story in the news, nationally speaking, is the fact that the ex-leader of the Proud Boys, Enrique Tarrio, sentenced to 22 years in the sedition case. And I should mention before I go any further that I've been struggling with a cold for the last few days. Yesterday, if you were listening, you may remember at the end of the show, I kind of lost my voice. And if that happens again today, we'll be playing a lot more music and talking a lot less. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. Hey, let's get to this story and see how it goes. I have the headline here from the New York Times. It says, ex-leader of Proud Boys sentenced to 22 years in January 6th sedition case. And the prison term for Enrique Tarrio was the most severe penalty handed down so far to any of the more than 1,100 people who've been charged in connection with the attack on the Capitol. And this piece was posted yesterday at the New York Times. It says, Enrique Tarrio, The former leader of the Proud Boys was sentenced on Tuesday, yesterday, to 22 years in prison for the central role he played in organizing a gang of his pro-Trump followers to attack the Capitol on January 6th of 2021 and stop the peaceful transfer of presidential power. And you may be aware of this, but in case you're not, I should mention that Mr. Tarrio was not even at the Capitol on January 6th, but I'm sure this story goes into that fact. It says Tarrio's sentence, stemming from his conviction this spring on charges of seditious conspiracy, was the most severe penalty handed down so far to any of the more than 1,100 people charged in connection with the Capitol attack, and was likely to remain that way given that no other defendants currently face accusations as serious as the ones he did. Until now, the longest prison term connected to January 6th had been 18 years. That sentence was issued last week to Ethan Nordine, one of Mr. Tarrio's co-defendants. The same sentence was given in a separate case in May to Stuart Rhodes, the leader of another far-right group, the Oath Keepers Militia, who also was found guilty of sedition in connection with the storming of the Capitol. So I hope this is a lesson to all of you who may be considering storming the Capitol of the United States. It's not a good idea. You might end up with 22 years behind bars. This piece from the New York Times goes on and says the penalty imposed on Tarrio at a three-hour hearing in federal district court in Washington was the final sentence to be lodged against the five members of the Proud Boys who were tried on seditious conspiracy charges earlier this year. Three other men in the case, Joseph Biggs, Zachary Rail, and Dominic Pozzola, were each sentenced last week to between 10 years and 17 years in prison. But of all the sentences handed down so far, Tarrio's was the most notable, not only because of its length, but also because of what it suggested about the current state of the Proud Boys. Within days of the Capitol attack, far-right group became a priority for the FBI's inquiry into January 6th, as investigators quickly determined that dozens of its members had played decisive roles in breaching barricades and assaulting the police. Back to blue, right? In a series of separate prosecutions, of which Tarrio's sedition trial was by far the most important, the Justice Department all but decapitated the group's national leadership and mostly put an end to its involvement in large-scale and often violent pro-Trump rallies in cities across the country. But the Proud Boys as a whole survived, persisting in their role as, quote, foot soldiers for the right, end quote. In the words of one member who testified for the government at Tarrio's trial, in recent years, the group has repeatedly inserted itself at the local level into conflicts over issues like coronavirus restrictions and the teaching of anti-racism in schools, and has taken part in attacks against LGBTQ pride events. One of the items listed here in that list is the teaching of anti-racism in schools. I don't know why that's an issue with them. Evidently, they prefer students to be racist. Is that what that means? Explaining why he had imposed 22 years, Judge Timothy Kelly read aloud the seditious conspiracy statute, noting that it was a serious offense. Tarrio, he added, was the ultimate leader of that conspiracy and had been motivated by revolutionary zeal. For Tarrio, 39 years old, the sentence ended a brief but belligerent career as a prominent force among far-right groups during a period when they moved from the fringes toward the center of conservative politics. Tarrio was in charge of the Proud Boys, which has long espoused a kind of violent patriarchal nationalism.
when Trump famously called it out during a presidential debate against Joe Biden, telling its members to stand back and stand by. A Floridian of Cuban descent, rarely seen without his uniform of sunglasses and a baseball cap, Tario took control of the Proud Boys in 2018 after the group's founder, Gavin McInnes, stepped aside. With long-standing ties to pro-Trump figures like Roger Stone, Tario is enough of a celebrity in right-wing circles that even the prosecutors who secured his conviction referred to him in a sentencing memo this month as a, quote, a naturally charismatic leader and a savvy propagandist. As he left the courtroom, escorted by federal marshals, Tario raised two fingers in either a peace sign or a victory sign. Connor Mulro, a prosecutor on the case, had urged Judge Kelly to sentence Tario to 33 years in prison, saying that a stiff penalty was needed to prevent extremists from attacking the democratic process in future elections. Mr. Mulro described Tario as summoning his men to Washington on January 6th and launching them at the Capitol, where they crashed into the building with a tidal wave of force. Quote, his leadership over the Proud Boys was about violence and manipulation. Mr. Mulro went on. He demonized his perceived adversaries. He glorified the use of force against them. He elevated the street fighting element in his group, the so-called Rally Boys. And he practiced and endorsed the use of disinformation, deceiving the public and cultivating fear, end quote. During the trial, prosecutors portrayed the Proud Boys as having served as Donald Trump's army on January 6th. Racked with despair over Trump's defeat to Biden, the prosecutors said the group was, quote, thirsting for violence and organizing for action, and ultimately fought at the Capitol to keep their preferred leader in power, no matter what the law or the courts had to say about it. Still, Tario's situation was unique. He was in Baltimore, not Washington, on January 6th, having been kicked out of the city days earlier by a local judge presiding over a separate criminal matter. In that case, Tario was arrested on charges of burning a Black Lives Matter banner that belonged to a black church in Washington after an earlier pro-Trump rally, and of being in possession of two high-capacity rifle magazines bearing a Proud Boys logo. Let me ask you this. What was he going to do with those two high-capacity rifle magazines? 18 minutes after 8 o'clock now, we got to take a break. It's a quick one, so stick around. You're tuned in to the Stu Daniels Show.
Joey Erickson at Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK. At Civic Media, we love our local communities and want to share your stories. Submit your local event and we'll let our listeners know. Email me at joey.erickson@civicmedia.us.
If I could be you.
And you could be me.
For just 1 hour.
If you could find a way.
To get inside.
Each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here.
I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe, and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow, Wisconsin's home for daily conversations about the state's latest headlines and stories. Weekday mornings from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Here's your updated forecast. Overcast today with a slight chance for scattered showers. Daytime highs approaching 63. Winds out of the northwest, 10 to 15 miles per hour. Lows around 51. Tonight, cloudy skies. Highs level off around 65. Tomorrow, overcast skies. Turning warmer Friday and Saturday with highs from the low 70s to the upper 70s. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on Lake Air, WLAK, 1260 AM. Right now, 63.
This summer, Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK has a new starting lineup. 12:15, Town Call. 1 p.m., The Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn directs WLAK.
Welcome back to the Stu Daniels Show, 24 and a half minutes after 8 o'clock now on this Wednesday morning. We've got 70 degrees in La Crosse right now and 67 degrees in Richland Center. And if you have an opinion on anything we are discussing today, feel free to call in. I'd like to hear what you have to say. The phone number is 715-388-7155. And just before the break, we were going over the big headline in the news yesterday and this morning about Enrique Tarrio being sentenced to 22 years behind bars for his role in the January 6th insurrection at the U.S. Capitol. And we were going over a story that's posted in the New York Times mentioning the fact that even though he received the most harsh sentence so far, Mr. Tarrio was not even in Washington, D.C. at the time. He had been kicked out of the city a couple of days earlier. Let me give you just what we were discussing right before the break. He was in Baltimore, not Washington, D.C. on January 6th, having been kicked out of the city days earlier by a local judge presiding over a separate criminal matter. In that case, Tarrio was arrested on charges of burning a Black Lives Matter banner that belonged to a Black church in Washington after an earlier pro-Trump rally and of being in possession of two high-capacity rifle magazines bearing a Proud Boys logo. Prosecutors claimed that Tarrio knew in advance that he was going to be taken into custody through a contact in the Washington police force and, quote, strategically calculated his arrest as a means to inspire a reaction by his followers, end quote. On the 6th of January, Tarrio was watching events unfold from a distance and swapping texts with some of his subordinates as the pro-Trump mob with the Proud Boys in the lead overran the Capitol. Mr. Mulroe said that Tarrio has never showed true remorse for the Capitol attack, noting that even as a jury was deliberating his fate, he gave an interview in front of thousands of people online declaring that the Proud Boys did nothing wrong on that day. Tarrio's lawyers disputed many of these claims, arguing, as they did during the trial, that neither Tarrio nor the Proud Boys had a plan to storm the Capitol on January 6th. Well, if they didn't have a plan, they just kind of did it by happenstance. We just happened to be in Washington, D.C. and decided to overthrow the U.S. government, tear down the Capitol, bust in, et cetera, et cetera. Anyway, interesting to see what's going to happen to the guy who was at the top of the whole thing. If Tarrio got 22 years, how many years will Trump get? 28 minutes after 8 o'clock, got to take a break. Stick around. You're tuned in to your local Civic Media radio station.
I was happy in the haze of a drunken hour, but heaven knows I'm miserable now. I was looking for a job and then I found a job, and heaven knows I'm miserable now. In my life, why do I give valuable time to people who don't care if I...
This summer, Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK has a new starting lineup. Beginning at 6, Up North News. Then at 8, Stu Daniels. On Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
ABC News, I'm Mike Dubusky. The impeachment trial continues today in Texas for State Attorney General Ken Paxton, accused of abuse of office by Democrats and members of his own party who want him out.
When you have a person in office with the pattern of clear corruption in big things and in small things that you have with General Paxton, this should have happened a long time ago.
It's Dallas County Judge Clay Jenkins. Paxton has pleaded not guilty. The trial could last weeks. Vice President Kamala Harris is in Indonesia for the Association of Southeast Asian Nations Summit. praising Asian leaders for their partnership and telling the Associated Press she's concerned about Russia collaborating with North Korea. The leaders of those two nations expected to meet soon as Russia looks for support in its war against Ukraine. In Ukraine today, on an unannounced visit, U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken announcing more than $1 billion in new American support. This is ABC News.
Thanks for listening to your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more on our website, civicmedia.us.
For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly. Yesterday, a judge blocked Wisconsin election officials from using a federal voter registration form, concluding they never formally approved its use. The lawsuit was filed in 2022 by Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty, a conservative law firm, asking the judge to declare the national mail voter registration application illegal in the state. Wisconsin Election Commission lawyers argued that the form had already been approved by an election agency. A state judiciary disciplinary panel has rejected several complaints lodged against Wisconsin Supreme Court Justice Janet Protasiewicz, alleging she violated the Judicial Code of Ethics for comments she made during the campaign. It's a setback to Republican arguments that those remarks could warrant impeachment. Protasiewicz's win in April flipped majority control of Wisconsin's Supreme Court from conservative to liberal for the first time in 15 years. Republicans are now talking about impeaching Protasiewicz because of her campaign comments. For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly.
Experience Nightlight, September 8th and 9th from 5 until 10:30 p.m. Presented by Joy Engine. The dazzling spectacle is an immersive 4D light festival taking place in Milwaukee's historic Mitchell Street neighborhood. Digital animations, dance, music, art, and fashion combine to create a visual, family-friendly sensory experience outside of 710 West Historic Mitchell Street, home of Mitchell Street Arts. The event is family-friendly and free to the public. Don't miss this iconic event. Nightlight, where art comes to life. Information at joyengine.org.
Ready to ride?
Just let me get my flip-flops on.
Whoa, Mom and Dad are going for a ride without their protective gear.
Quick, grab the checklist. I'll grab the gear.
Just where do you two think you're going without your safety gear?
Yeah, you know how we feel about riding without your gear.
Well, it's so nice out.
And we're only going for a short ride.
Not before you put all this gear on, you're not.
But...
riding pants?
Okay.
Check.
Motorcycle boots?
Bye-bye, flip-flops.
Check.
Armored jackets?
Nice.
Check.
Riding gloves?
Two pairs.
Check.
Last but not least, full-face helmets.
Check.
Now you're ready to ride.
And you look cool.
All the gear, all the time. Zero in Wisconsin. Together, we can save lives. Learn more at zeroinwisconsin.gov.
Be home on time for dinner.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Transportation.
Missed your favorite show? It's easy to find it wherever you listen to podcasts. Apple, Google, or civicmedia.us. Looking for more local programming? Check out our website, civicmedia.us, to see our entire lineup.
Ooh, baby, ooh, say ooh. And the days go by.
We got 8:38 right now. Welcome back to the Stu Daniels Show on a Wednesday morning, letting the music play a little longer than normal because I'm dealing with a cold and I don't want to lose my voice before the radio show is over. We got 68 degrees right now in Eau Claire and 64 degrees in Amory. And just before the break, we were talking about Enrique Tarrio, former leader of the Proud Boys, sentenced to 22 years in prison for his role in the insurrection, the attack on the United States Capitol, January 6th, 2021. And I'll get back to a little bit more of the story in the New York Times before we move on to our next subject. And by the way, if you have an opinion on anything we are discussing today, feel free to call in. I'd like to hear what you have to say. The phone number is 715-388-7155. And getting back to the story about Enrique Tarrio, one of his lawyers, a lawyer named Naib Hassan, took issue with the government's attempts to liken his client to, quote, a general controlling his soldiers, noting that in this instance, the general didn't even have communication with his troops. As we mentioned earlier, Tarrio wasn't even in Washington, D.C. at the time. He was actually in Baltimore on the day of January 6th because he had been kicked out of Washington, D.C. for burning a Black Lives Matter banner at a black church. And it says here in this story in the New York Times that moments after his mother begged Judge Kelly for leniency, Tarrio, dressed in an orange prison outfit, apologized for his role in the events of January 6th, and said his trial, which lasted more than 3 months, had humbled him. In what seemed like the testimony he never gave at the trial, he told Judge Kelly that after the election, he could simply not believe that Trump had lost, and that every media outlet he turned to told him that his anger was justified. After two pro-Trump rallies in Washington before January 6th, he went on, he saw the temperature rising among his followers and claimed that he reached out to officials in the FBI, Secret Service, and the local Washington police. As for January 6th itself, it was a national embarrassment, Tarrio said, adding, I am not a political zealot. Some of the other Proud Boys sentenced so far were similarly contrite in their remarks to Judge Kelly, only to reverse themselves outside of the judge's presence. Last week, not long after telling the judge that he was a changed and humble man, Mr. Pizzola raised his fist as he was being led from the courtroom and shouted with a smile, Trump won. By the way, if you're not familiar with Mr. Pezzola, he's the guy who had the police shield that he had taken from a police officer and was banging in the window at the Capitol. He was the first one to actually breach the Capitol by busting through that window with that police shield. So after he was sentenced and actually told the judge that he was a changed man, he was now a humble man, on his way out of the courtroom, he raised his fist and shouted, "Trump won." Unbelievable. Back to the story, it says, days after weeping at his own sentencing, Mr. Biggs called into a vigil being held outside the municipal jail in Washington that houses several January 6th defendants, describing his punishment as insane and declaring, quote, "We got to stand up and fight. Don't give up," end quote. In an interview with his former boss, the conspiracy theorist Alex Jones, Biggs also said he expected that Trump, if reelected, would pardon him. Like the proceedings last week for Tarrio's co-defendants, the hearing on Tuesday, yesterday, dwelled on complex questions surrounding what is known as a terrorism sentencing enhancement. The adjustment can be used to increase defendants' sentences if prosecutors can show that their actions were meant to influence, quote, the conduct of government by intimidation and coercion, end quote. Judge Kelly has said that the enhancement technically applies to each of the five men's cases, though he has acknowledged that none of them engaged in typical acts of terrorism like blowing up buildings or attacking military installations. And also it says here, this is a quote from one of Tarrio's attorneys. He says, "My client is no terrorist. My client is a misguided patriot." But Mr. Mulroe from the prosecution argued that even if Tarrio's followers in the Proud Boys would, quote, never dream of strapping a bomb to their chests, end quote, they were, quote, thrilled at the notion of traveling from city to city and beating their adversaries unconscious in a street fight, end quote. That's the story from the New York Times about the sentencing of Enrique Tarrio yesterday. 22 years he'll be in jail, and I would say, you know, he deserves it, right? Prosecutors were asking for 33 years, so he's only getting, what, two-thirds of that. He ought to be happy. He ought to consider himself fortunate. We got 8:44 and a half right now. Got to take a break. Stick around. It's a short one. You're tuned in to the Stu Daniels Show.
Experience Nightlight, September 8th and 9th from 5 until 10:30 p.m. Presented by Joy Engine. The dazzling spectacle is an immersive 4D light festival taking place in Milwaukee's historic Mitchell Street neighborhood. Digital animations, dance, music, art, and fashion combine to create a visual, family-friendly sensory experience outside of 710 West Historic Mitchell Street, home of Mitchell Street Arts. The event is family-friendly and free to the public. Don't miss this iconic event. Nightlight, where art comes to life. Information at joyengine.org.
Now at Menards, saving money in your next project with 11% off everything. Check out our huge selection of Patriot Lighting ceiling fans. They make a beautiful addition to any room while reducing energy costs year-round. Right now, the Aneta Matte Black 52-inch LED indoor-outdoor ceiling fan is $139.95 after 11% rebate. View all of our ceiling fans in-store or on Menards.com. Good through September 10th. Savings are a mail-in rebate. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Save big money at Menards.
With the end of summer just around the corner, make sure to enjoy it at Amory Theater and Coffee Bar. Go to AmoryTheater.com to see all the current movie showings and to rent out the theater. Amory Theater and Coffee Bar, open Tuesday and Wednesday, 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. and Thursday to Sunday, 7 a.m. to 9 p.m.
Civic Media radio stations, providing your news, conversations, and fun you won't find anywhere else.
Here's your updated forecast. Overcast today, with a slight chance for scattered showers. Daytime highs approaching 63. Winds out of the northwest, 10 to 15 miles per hour. Lows around 51. Tonight, cloudy skies. Highs level off around 65. Tomorrow, overcast skies. Turning warmer Friday and Saturday, with highs from the low 70s to the upper 70s. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on Lake Air, WLAK, 1260 AM. Right now, 63.
This summer, Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK has a new starting lineup. At 10, As Goes Wisconsin. Then at noon, Civic Media Network News. On Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
Why you wanna give me a run around? Yeah, that's your fire, let it be.
that's what I'm talking about. It's Blues Traveler on a Wednesday morning. Welcome back to the Stu Daniels Show, 8:54 right now. And if you have an opinion on anything we are discussing on the program today, feel free to call in. The phone number is 715-388-7155. And I want to give you an update on Maui and what's going on that island in Hawaii and the aftermath of the wildfires. And I want to encourage you to contribute to the different organizations that are helping out the people of Maui in case you haven't already contributed. And in fact, even if you did, you can give again, that's for sure. And it's not too late. You know, a lot of people are thinking, well, it's been almost a month, right, since that town of Lahaina got wiped out. But they still need help, that's for sure. And they will need help for a while. They are getting help from some organizations, but you can contribute and you can be a part of it. Obviously, the first place you may consider is the Red Cross. They were there on the ground immediately helping people to find places to live, places to stay, and just comforting people like the Red Cross does. Another option, especially if you're an animal lover, is the Maui Humane Society. It's easy to find them with a quick search on the internet. I found them and contributed, and they're doing important work for the animals on the island, on the west side of the island where Lahaina is. There's a group called Maui Strong. They're easy to find if you do a quick search, and that is an organization that was there long before the fire and will be there long after. Also, the Maui Food Bank, which is the local food bank on Maui. Every area has a local food bank, right? Well, you can contribute just by doing a quick search for the Maui Food Bank and give them a contribution, help them out, because they are helping the people on the island who need help desperately. And just to give you a little update, this is from Axios.com. It says, Maui's message to tourists, don't stay away. After the wildfires, just don't go to the town of Lahaina in the west side. So it says a month after wildfires in Hawaii ravaged the entire town of Lahaina and other parts of Maui, the local community is suffering a fresh layer of hardship on top of the trauma, a severe economic downturn. Locals and government officials have a new message. Come to Hawaii. Come to Maui, but be respectful and don't try to visit the Lahaina area or the west side of the island. In fact, I just saw another headline that said fire officials just announced that the fire that burned down the town of Lahaina, killing over 100 people, is now finally 100% contained. But it's still not out. They said it's 100% contained, but still not all the way out, a month after that town was burned down. So do what you can to help out if you can. And if you feel like taking a vacation to a place that many describe as paradise, it'd be a good idea. They make suggestions like tip well when you go there, maybe even consider volunteering to help people out. But just stay away from that area that got burned down. And then everybody be happy, right? 2 minutes away from 9 o'clock. Stick around. Got a top of the hour news break. And you're tuned in to the Stu Daniels Show.
You don't have to worry.
Experience Nightlight, September 8th and 9th from 5 until 10:30 p.m. Presented by Joy Engine. The dazzling spectacle is an immersive 4D light festival taking place in Milwaukee's historic Mitchell Street neighborhood. Digital animations, dance, music, art, and fashion combine to create a visual, family-friendly sensory experience outside of 710 West Historic Mitchell Street, home of Mitchell Street Arts. The event is family-friendly and free to the public. Don't miss this iconic event. Nightlight, where art comes to life. Information at joyengine.org.
Hey, this is Joy Erickson at Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK. At Civic Media, we love our local communities and want to share your stories. Submit your local event and we'll let our listeners know. Email me at joey.erickson@civicmedia.us.
Listening to WLAK 1260 AM Amory and WBZH 910 AM W245 CT Hayward.
Always streaming on the Civic ABC Media News app.